Okay, it's a schuss to be back together. It's a schuss to be back together. I want to thank the Shriers, and the Liza, and the whole Mishpacha, as usual, for opening up their bias, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. And Amir Tashem, it should be a schuss for them, for only Simcha and Bracha always. So it's been a very, very difficult week for Klal Yisrael. A very difficult week for each and every one of us. A tragedy that's so hard to talk about. I sent out a voice message to the group. I don't know how many listen to it, don't listen to it. I'm sure most of the shiurim that are being given over, the Torah being learned, the Chizuk and the Zohars of this week, are connected to that tragedy of the Kedoshim, those 11 holy neshamas that died at Kiddush Hashem, that were killed at Kiddush Hashem in Pittsburgh last Shabbos Kodesh. And on one level, you'll see that everything we'll learn about will somehow connect to that. But, you know, you could ask and be thinking, why is it that we aren't directly going to be speaking about that? Isn't that what's on our minds? Isn't that where we need Chizuk, where we need Esorus? Whether it be to talk about Avos Yisrael, whether we talk about how to deal with tragedy. But I thought about it a lot. And again, it wouldn't have been wrong to go in one of those directions. There's no question that could have been a possibility. And throughout the week, I've been speaking nonstop about it. And I'm sure all of us have been thinking nonstop about it. I'm sure all of us have gained chizik about it. The truth is, you know, I think we spoke about it at this table a few weeks ago after Yom Kippur, when I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur, and the unfortunate schus to be there to pay a shiva call to the mishpacha of Ari Fold, and then to be the day after he was murdered in the makom where he was murdered. And I still have such a strong picture in my mind of that scene. The day after he was murdered in that, outside the mall at Tzomet HaGush. And when I'm there, it's 9 o'clock at night the very next day. And besides for a few of us that were there to try to connect to the makom and to sing. And of course there were certain things set up and candles set up as a Magin David in the makom where he fell to his death, and other candles where he was stabbed, and there were things going on, but so much of what was going on was normal life as well. So much of what was going on were people shopping and preparing for Erev Yom Kippur. And in the makom, and I think I mentioned this already, in the makom where he jumped over that wall to shoot the terrorist and to save other Jewish lives, in that exact makom where he jumped over, there were Yidden sitting and eating pizza. And I was taken aback by that. My initial thought, I was very taken aback by it. You know, like we should all just be crying. I'm sure every Yid did cry. But there's also an avoda of every Jew, of every single one of us, not to forget Chas V'Shalom, but also to be able to move on. To move on with that chizik and isoris and with these 11 kedoshim in our minds, and of course all the Torah we learned tonight will be le'il nishmasam. But we're never supposed to be frozen by tragedy. If we're frozen by tragedy, it's a tremendous chisaron in amuna. It's a tremendous chisaron in a recognition that Hashem runs the world, and our avod is yes to be sad, and yes to feel with these families. And yes, to have the Avos Yisrael we're supposed to. But also, not to just be frozen and stagnant, but to move on. Hopefully moving on, being better people because of it. Taking upon ourselves Kabbalah's Le'il Nishmas, these 11 Kedoshim. Part of Nechama is being able to move on. Doing, like I'm sure many of you saw, the beautiful video that was going around. If you haven't seen it, if you remind me, I'll send it out in the group chat. If you haven't... But it was beautiful of a few Yidden that went around and they had 11 Yidden who are not yet from and don't yet put on tefillin every day. Put on tefillin each one saying they're putting tefillin, l'inish, and that's another one of the kedoshim. Beautiful. Beautiful acts of mitzvahs and chesed, l'inish, masam. So our avodah is to move on. And I think in a certain way, there's no better topic to talk about. As we said, we're going to talk tonight about dating and shiduchim and this parsha, which I know is on a lot of our minds in this room. Because that's the greatest way to move on is to continue to build Klal Yisrael. And the way we build Klal Yisrael is that we have marriages and we have births and we continue to grow and we're not afraid of the future. We're not afraid of the future. And therefore, again, we're going to dedicate all the learning, Lul Nishmasam, but have the chizik and the zoras to continue to build, continue to grow until we're zoicha through our acts of Torah and mitzvahs to Bez Hashem Mashiach and Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Tchias HaMesim will be dancing together Bekarov Mamish with these 11 Kedoshim. So there's no question, this parasha, always you have to live with the parasha. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zatzal, taught us we have to live with the parasha. When you live with the parasha, this week's parasha is a parasha where Eliezer was sent by Avram Avinu to find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. It's the parasha of Shiduchim in the Torah. And this is where we look to for our chizik, for our zoras, when it comes to dating, when it comes to our lives and finding our bashart, when it comes to the chizik zoras that a lot of us need at times. Because it's a daunting avoda. And sometimes we're zoicha to bracha immediately, and sometimes it's a long journey. Sometimes it's a very long journey. And we need chizik and zoras and understand what our mindset should be throughout that journey. Throughout our dating process, until we're zoicha in the right time to be standing underneath the chuppah. And let's remember, that journey is not a race. I say this all the time. And I think it's so important not to forget. The journey is not a race. It's not the first guy that comes along that could be okay. I'm looking, you know, to get married. The avod is to marry b'shatoy mazlach, is the right person at the right time. If I told any of you in this room, I could tomorrow introduce you to a young man, and you'll date, and it'll be a very nice guy, and it'll be good. And you'll have a good marriage, and you'll have good children. Everything will be decent. Everything will be nice. Everything will be good. And you'll be married 8 months from now. That's one. And I gave you that option A. Option B is waiting. I have a guy for you, but you're gonna have to wait for 2 more years from now. Watching all your friends get married and maybe even have children. You're gonna wait 2 years, and that's when I'm gonna introduce you to this guy. And you're going to get married a year after that, 3 years from now. But he's going to be the most incredible guy in the world. And you'll have the most incredible marriage, and the most incredible children, and life of simcha, and brach, and shalom bayis. Everybody in this room is going to sign up for that plan B. Everybody! Now I know, what's scary is we don't know. We don't have the plans, and we don't see. And it's not options in front of our face, the way I just described. But just to remember that chizik alone, to remember it's not a race. It's the right person at the right time. And who's best for me, and who I could live a life of simcha and bracha with my whole life. Bez Hashem is Baruch. But I think this week's parasha gives us all the chizik in the world. And all the chizik in the world to go through this process, and go through the process with tremendous simcha. Because that's hard. We all think the process is only about the goal. When am I going to have the simcha? The simcha is going to come when I find the right guy. The simcha is going to come when I'm underneath my chuppah, or at least I get engaged and I can sigh a little relief. The commitment's there, I'm good to go. That's when the simcha will come. Till then, I'm not so excited about the journey. Our avodah is to be b'simcha always. The avodah of all of our lives is always to be b'simcha. Whatever is going on in our life, that's what the Ribono Shel Olam wants from us at that point in our life, and we have to try to be b'simcha always. So how can we be b'simcha as we go through this journey? Which sometimes has turns which we don't understand, which don't make sense. So we open up this week's parasha. And right away, there's very strange discussions going on. Because Eliezer gets to Lavan and Besuel, who we know are not the greatest of people. And he comes and he wants to take their daughter, their sister. And right away, we find the Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Nun, Vayan, Lavan u'Besuel. Lavan and Besuel answer when he asks to take Rivka back. Vayomru, and they say, Me Hashem yotzo ha'davar. This is all from Hashem. This is love. If I didn't tell you, I didn't read the first few words, you'd assume Eliezer speaking or Avram speaking. Or it's Lavan and Basul speaking. Me Hashem yatzah hadavar. This is all from Hashem. Lo nuchal daber elecha ra'otov. We can't speak to you bad or good. We have no say. Everything you're saying, the shidduch is from Hashem. Hinei Rivka levanecha here. Rivka's before you. Kach v'lech. Take her and go. Usi isha levan adonecha. She'll be a wife to the son of your master. Kasher diber Hashem. Like Hashem spoke. Now let's remember for a moment. This is the same love on speaking who in a few parshios, when Yaakov Avinu is trying to get married to Rachel, to Leah, he's tricking him left and right. He's switching his wives, his daughters on him and switching the wives. He's going and he's making him work for years and years extra. Right? The same love on. Here, immediately he wants Rivka, your sister, and he says, Hashem Yatzah is all from Hashem. It's God's plan. All good. Kasher Diber Hashem. Really? Lavan? It's a little bit strange, right? And we see as well, there's a very famous Rashi here, because it says, Vayan Lavan u'Besuel. Lavan and Besuel answered. Lavan and Besuel answered. Now we know who is the father. Who is the father? Besuel. Lavan was Rivka's brother. So shouldn't the order be reversed? Meaning, who should speak first? Besuel. It should be Vayan Besuel Velova, not Vayan Lavan Ubesuel. So Rashi says that when approached by Eliezer to take Rivka, Lavan jumped in front of the father, didn't let the father speak. Yeah, take her, Hashem Yatzah Adavar. Kind of disgusting Derech Eretz is that in front of your father. How big a Russia could you be? That you have no kavod for your father, that you're going to jump right in front of him and you're answering, it's your father's daughter, it's not your daughter. Really? And then that's what Rashi calls him, Rasha Haya. He was a Rasha. For kafas lahashiv lefnei aviv. He jumped and answered in front of his father. What's going on here? It's the same Rasha, same Hashem Yatzah Adavar. Well, what's going on? So I saw an amazing Torah from the Shlach HaKadosh. Listen to what the Shlach says. Shlach HaKadosh says, if you look a few psukim earlier, when they sat down to eat, the pasuk says, "Vayusam lefanav leechol," that Lavan went and placed in front of Eliezer to eat. He put some food in front of him. And there's a very famous medrash here. All of you have learned this medrash. You all know the medrash from a young child. "Vayusam" is also milashon sam. Sam is like poison. That you all know what he put poison in front of Eliezer. He saw Eliezer came with all these riches. All this jewelry and everything else. He wanted. So Lavan is this big Rasha. He says, he's going to kill Eliezer and take all his stuff. He played the same Lavan who said, moments earlier, is trying to kill the guy. Listen, he tries to kill him so he could take everything. Now Eliezer's not interested in eating. Eliezer's not interested in eating because Eliezer is the shliach of Avraham Avinu. He's the messenger of Avraham Avinu. So Eliezer's whole life is to do, if he's told to do something, I got to do my shlichus. I'm not here to eat. I'm here to find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu. So he doesn't want to take part in that. So that's why Lavan and Besuel, but primarily Lavan who jumped in, right away says, "May Hashem Yatzah Adavar, take my daughter, take my sister." Why? Because he saw Eliezer wasn't eating because he wanted to get the deal done. So what does Lavan think? Okay, I'll get the deal. I'll tell him the deal's done. Then, okay, Eliezer did his shlichus. Okay, he's had a long journey. Now he'll sit back and eat a little bit. I'll kill him and it's all good. I'll kill him and it's all good. What happened in the interim, the famous medrash? A malach came and switched around the food. Who ate from the food? Besuel. Lavan went and literally killed off his own father. Now his father's dead. He went and agreed to the shidduch. If his father, listen to this, what the Shlach says, if his father was still alive, at this point he could have, if his father was still alive, so his father could have been the one to discuss and take back or whatever it is. But what happened? He jumped in and he was the one who agreed to the Shidduch. And now, by the way, because he did that, listen to this, what the Shlach says, because he jumped in ahead of his father, he can't even claim now that his father's dead, oh, I never wanted the shidduch for my sister. I only was agreeing with my father. Because you're the one who said it first. So him jumping ahead of his father, so that he's trying to kill off Eliezer quickly, ends up, now he can't retract, and that's what ends up that Rivka has to go with Eliezer. He has nothing he could say anymore. Come Shla HaKadosh, do we see in this whole storyline Dvar Hashem bigger than that? Everything that Lavan's trying to do, Venahapachu, is turned around on him, is flipped around on him. He tries to kill off Eliezer, he kills off his own father. He tries to jump in and tell him, we're going to agree to the shidduch, so that what, he'll eat it and be poisoned, but it's too late. And even him jumping ahead of his father ends up ruining him, that he can no longer claim that I was only following my father. Me Hashem yatzah hadavar. We see from all this, the Shlach says, the unbelievable hashkacha pratis in shiduchim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the master of puppets of this world. If you're holding a Metallica, you know the band Metallica, chavra. Okay, you don't have to admit to it, it's fine. But Lemaisa, they have a song, Master of Puppets. I always think that song, Seibishter is the master of puppets. He's orchestrating everything that goes down. In the world, always. Always we have to believe that and know that. In everything in our lives. It was so sad, I paid a shiva call this week to a Talmud of mine. Very, very, very special young man, Rabbi Josh Grazhauer. Rabbi Josh Grazhauer is about 32 years old. And he was married for 10 years to a wonderful tzaddikus of a woman who sadly was nefteris this past Shabbos. She battled a machla for a very, very long time. It's mamish, terrible, terrible tragedy. So sad. Mamish, my heart goes out. I have three little children. I think the oldest child is 8 or 9 years old. None of us could imagine going through such a tragedy, such difficulty. And Josh, he got up at the Levaya, and he started his hesped for his wife, before he spoke about his wife. Before, it's kedai to go online and watch if you want it. It's on YouTube. You could just Levaya of Danny Grazhauer. And before he speaks about his wife, he spoke so beautifully his wife. Halavai, we shall be zeicher to have such marriages that you could clearly, that him and his wife had the love, the companionship, the respect, the friendship. The friendship. Don't ever forget that. You know, people think like marriage is like a business deal. And I'm like, it's all about papers on a resume and putting together a good business deal. And because I've always been looking for the guy that's going to learn for 6 years, and that guy is the guy that I want with the family and my family together that could support us. And everything works out on paper, boom, perfect. That's exact shidduch. Your husband should be your best friend. That's the most important thing in your life. Your husband should be your best friend. Obviously, you want to respect him, and you want somebody that's going to build a home b'derech Torah mitzvos. But trust me, what's going to be way more meaningful to you as a wife is if your husband's your best friend. And he should be the biggest Baal Midos in the world. Worry way more about his Midos than about his Torah learning and his Torah knowledge. Don't ever forget that. The most important judgment in Shiduchim is his Midos. If he's the biggest Baal Derech Eretz that you've ever met, the most humble person you've ever met, that's going to make an amazing husband, an amazing wife, and put you before himself and your children before himself. And you before his learning, and his children before his learning. And don't get me wrong, a machshav liman haTorah on the highest of levels, trust me, now's not the time. You can listen to the 150 shiurim, all the shiurim that I give Thursday nights that don't go on your chat, they're all about Amelus B'Torah, every single one, trust me. Trust me. But in a marriage and in a home, Derech Eretz Kadmah L'Torah. And what's going to make a great husband to you, and what's going to bring you a life of simcha, is marrying the biggest Baal Midos in the world to you. Trust me. And the Torah itself tells us, and this week's parish as well, it's not what I wanted to focus on tonight, but the Torah shows us, what are we looking for in Shiduchim? What was Eliezer looking for? Did he have any test to see where her connection to Hashem was? Did he have any test to see how much Kavanah she had in her davening? Did we see any tznius check that he did on her? Don't see any of that. None of that. One thing. Where's her midos? Is she looking to give me to drink and the camels to drink? Is she a proactive Baal Chesed? Baal as Chesed. And so too in your husbands. That's what you should be looking for. More than, don't get me wrong. He has to be a Ben Torah, Baal Yerushalayim, a growing individual. Learning has to be important to him. All these things are also important. But on the totem pole of most important, number one, and then everything else is like not second or third, fourth, fifth, and sixth maybe, is just Midos and Derech Eretz. Don't ever forget that. But you heard that in this Hesped, this relationship between Josh and his wife and Danny, it was like... But he started the Hesped before he spoke about her. He said this. He said all that he spoke about for the first few minutes was just Amunah and Hashem. And he said, every single one of us has to remember we're not on this world for Hashem to serve us. We're here to serve Him. We're not... He said this after losing his wife at the age of 32, and have three children that he's going to have to care for and take care of alone. None of us could imagine. We're not in this world for him to serve us. We're here to serve him. And we're makabel. And we say Baruch Dayan Emes. And he said, of course, we're allowed to be sad. But with tremendous emunah. And that's the emunah we have to have in life. And that's the emunah we have to have as we go through this tragic week as a member of Klal Yisrael, after what happened this past Shabbos Kodesh, as 11 Yidden went to Shul to Davin and were murdered because they were Yidden al Kiddush Hashem. And our hearts have to be thinking about them and talking about them and living for them in a way. But the biggest emunah we see over here is that Mehashem Yatzah Adavar is when it comes to Shidduchim, we have to believe 100%, we have to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the best interest in mind, that He's B'shadech Shidduchim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar, just like it came out for Rivka and Yitzchak, it's going to come for us as well. And if you paid attention to that, to the Shlah, in the craziest of ways how everything occurred, who are we to know how things are going to occur for us? And we have to believe in that, and we have to know it. Wholeheartedly. Every single one of us. And if we have that emunah, it's all good. Whatever length it takes. I don't know who decided, like, you know, sadly, we live in a world where people, like, tell young women because they're already turned 21 that the you start feeling sorry for yourself. Shem Yirachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided you'll become a Kala at 23. Wonderful, at 24, at 25, at 26, at 28. How many children you have a plan on having? You think if you get married at 28, you can't still have 6-7 children if you'd like? I'm not saying that, so again, we're not getting into halachos of that right now. I'm just saying, like Lamaisa, you can't have a beautiful, wonderful family. So Rabbeinu Shalom wants you to grow on your own first a little bit longer. That's what he's telling you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that your chassan, the greatest chassan in the world, wasn't ready for you. He needs to work on himself a little bit. You need to work on yourself a little bit. I don't know. Again, Rabbeinu Shalom knows what's better than any of us. The Rabbeinu Shalom knows the Mehashem Yatzah Adavar. We have to believe it, and we have to know it. And we never, ever, ever should get down about it when we have such an emunah. Of course, it doesn't mean we have to put in our shtadlis. It's a shtadlis, that's our avodah. And let's put in whatever that shtadlis is and meet with shadchanim and talk and date and try. But always besimcha with emunah that the right person at the right time, whenever that is, it's going to be. Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar. Me'Hashem Yatzah Adavar. And if it doesn't work out, it's okay. If I'm dating someone, sometimes I'm dating someone and I dated for a very long time and I thought it was so close and it was great, and that's the most disheartening. That's the biggest bracha. Because you know what that means? You almost signed up for a life of misery. That's the biggest bracha. The Belzer Rebbe, that's all. He said like this, he said a tremendous line. He said, couples go and they're dating, and when they, it's amazing I understood this. I heard this week from Rav Melech Biederman. It was in Yiddish. I don't understand Yiddish. Very, you know, little words here, there. This somehow I understood, though. I understood it to be able to tell over to you, telling you. So he said, the Belzer Rebbe said that couples go when they date, and if they get engaged, machzen l'chaim, they make a l'chaim, right? We make a l'chaim. And if they're dating and it goes for a while and doesn't work out, then they go and they daven and daven, right? Because they're down and have to daven d'Hashem. He said, pum fakert. It should be just the opposite. He said it should be just the opposite. If you're dating, dating, and it doesn't work out, machzen l'chaim. Then you should make a l'chaim. Baruch Hashem, I didn't end up with the person that wasn't best for me. I didn't end up with some with the situation that would have been a sad life. People end up in very difficult lives. Trust me. Machzen l'chaim. And if it works out and you get engaged, that's when you have to start really davening. That's what he said. That it makes Hashem. You should have simcha and bracha and children. And now you know what to daven for. Now you know who you're davening for. Zok de Brel Zareva. But we have to understand, Hashem Yatzar Davar. It's all from Hashem. It's all good. Everything's from Hashem. But Shiduchim even more so we see. And we see it Beferish, the Gemara Moed Katan says. Amar Rav Mishum Rav Ruvim Ben Itzrobili. Min ha-Torah u-min ha-Neviyim u-min ha-Ksuvim me-Hashem Isha le-Ish. From the Torah, and it's going to quote Psukim here. From the Torah, I'm not going to read the whole Gemara. From the Neviyim and from the Ksuvim, Tanakh, we have Psukim that teach us Hashem is the one that brings Isha le-Ish. Hashem is the one that brings Shiduchim. It's amazing. You don't find that too often in Gemara. Once in a while, where you have to bring a proof from Torah and Neviim. If you have the proof from Torah, I need from Neviim Ksuvim. Torah Neviim Ksuvim is a shlemus, is a completion, and it's a chazaka. It's all three places. It wants to tell you this is how strong it is that Hashem brings Shiduchim. This is the Muna we have to have, each and every one of us. Full Muna in Hashem that He's bringing Shiduchim. They're all from Hashem. It's already there's a baskel. It talks about the baskel here as well. Bechol yom ve'yom, baskel yotzas v'omeres, bas ploni leploni. Every day there's a baskel. We don't hear baskels, but there's a heavenly voice that says, this person is going to marry this person. Hashem's, me'Hashem yatzah davar. We have to believe this, and we have to know this. It's all from Hashem. Shiduchim's all from Hashem. What are we worried about? Hashem? Hashem's our tatan emel. Hashem loves us. Hashem wants what's best for us. Hashem put us in this world. So Hashem's going to take care of us. And only bring what's best for us. And we have to believe it. May Hashem yatzah davar. So we have plans that we think we're supposed to be married at this point. May Hashem yatzah davar. He knows better. Rabos machshavas belevish. Vatzas Hashem yisakum. We have a lot of plans. Hashem knows better. You know, there's a very famous stira, a very famous contradiction in Psukim from Mishlei to Koheles. When you talk about marriage, you might have heard this darshan that at a Sheva Brachos or something. One pasuk, a pasuk Mishlei in Perek Yudches says, "Matza isha, matza toiv." When a man finds a woman, you found something good. Baruch Hashem, matza isha, matza toiv. But then there's a pasuk in Koheles, "Umatza ani esa isha, mar mi maves." I found a wife, we have a shidduch, and it was mar mimavis, it was more bitter than death. Is it matzeisha matzatov, or is it matzeisha's mar mimavis? What's pshat? So if you look closely in the pasuk matzeisha matzatov, where the shidduch is tov, is good, the end of the pasuk says, v'yifek ratzon me'Hashem. In the pasuk matzah ani yaseisha mar mimavis, it's all about you. When it's matza ani, when I think it's all about me, when I'm the one finding my wife, when I'm the one finding my husband, when it's all matza ani, it's mar mimavis. Then life could be very bitter. Then life can be bitter. When it's all dependent on you. But when it's ratzon Hashem, when you, I'm a vatel to Hashem, and I know it's all Hashem, it's toiv, it's all good. We have to believe that. And we have to know that Hashem has our best interest, and Hashem's orchestrating the world. I think I shared this story once before at this table, but it's worth repeating. I think about it all the time when we talk about such a topic. And it was exactly tonight's the anniversary of this story. Thursday night before Chaye Sarah. It's got to be about... it's about 12 years ago, maybe. About 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I don't know. 12 years ago. So I had a Talmud called me up Thursday night before Chaye Sarah, tonight. And the Talmud, he's on the phone, and his mom is even crying, and I heard some tears. And he's all upset, because he was dating a young woman, They went on, I don't remember the exact number, 6 or 7 dates. He thought it was going amazing. He thought it was going really beautiful. And then she ended it. And he was very distraught. He was very upset. He was very sad. So I gave him all the chizik. We don't have to go through it now. I don't have to, you know, whatever chizik I could give him, whatever I thought of. And then Friday night, Lel Shabbos Kodesh, I went to shul where I davened at the shtibul by Rabbi Spiegel, the Rebbe. And he said, in this week's parsha, in Chayesara, we find that Eliezer davened that he wants to see im itzliach Hashem darko imlo. If Hashem will make successful my way or not. Like he's hoping Hashem should make it a successful tryst or not. Now every letter, the Rebbe said, every letter in Torah, every word in Torah is precious. The words imlo or not are completely superfluous. If you say, I want to see if I'll be successful. Or you say, I want to see if I'll be successful or not. Does that add anything? Obviously, if you're saying, I want to be and I hope to be successful, the other option is or not. There's no need for the Torah to say imlo. Why does it say imlo? So Rabbi Spiegel, he said so beautifully, he says, when it comes to shiduchim, if you're dating and you end up with that person and you end up getting engaged and married, Baruch Hashem, simcha mazel tov, awesome. Imlo, also awesome. As we said just a minute ago, Masna l'chaim, you didn't end up with the person that wasn't best for you. That would have been a life of misery. So the Torah is teaching us, im itzlicha is great, im lo is not. So it emphasizes also im lo. It's also a simcha that Hashem has your back. We have to believe that. So when the Rebbe said this Friday night, this Talmud of mine is a big Talmud Chacham, big Ben Torah, I knew, I gave him all the chizik, but I didn't have the backing from the Torah, you know? And you need the backing from the Torah for something to be meaningful. So I call him right away, Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, and I tell him, listen, you have to hear this Torah from the Rebbe. And I tell it over to him, and the Imamish took a lot of chizik from it, it was tremendous. And helped him realize, Imlo is also good. You thought differently. You think, but Hashem knows better than you. What ended up happening? Listen to this. What ended up happening?
No.
Nah, sorry.
She had a friend. Come on.
Eliza remembers. What ended up happening? This girl, this young woman, you know why she... you know, it was strange to me also. Usually, you don't have such a shock like he had. You have... He's a mythic guy, a normal guy. Usually, you feel out what's going on. You could tell if it's going well, not going well. Very rare you're going to be so shocked like that. You're so shocked. So this young woman also thought it was going pretty well. But the whole time they're dating... She had in her mind, he's good for me, and it's good, and it's building, but like, he's perfect for my best friend. The whole time they're dating, a very wonderful young woman, full of anivas, and mamish have others in mind, said, he's perfect, my best friend. She tried to see, but eventually she said, forget it. I have to drop this, because he has to be with my best friend. She broke up with him. She didn't tell him this at the time because she wanted to make sure. She broke up with him to set him up with her best friend. She called Repetzin Berkowitz. The boy was in Neri Yisrael. Repetzin Berkowitz, Rabbi Berkowitz's wife, is a big shadchan, some of you know. She called Repetzin Berkowitz. And Repetzin Berkowitz set him up with her best friend. And today they have, Kanayin Hara, 4 or 5 children, happily married, B'simcha Rabba. This guy was so upset. If I tell you how upset and how sad he was on the phone... You know what he was being upset about? About what led to his Reishis Chayil. If she didn't end it with him, who knows what would be today? May Hashem Yatzah Adavar. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to believe that, and we have to know that. With tremendous emunah. That's why it is, by the way, this week's Parsha is this episode with Eliezer finding a way for Yitzchak, but the very beginning of the Parsha is the death of Sarah. And we have this juxtaposition of the death of Sarah and finding a wife for Yitzchak. And the Gemara, the first Gemara in Kedushin, says we actually learn out that we get engaged with a ring, which has a monetary value, from the fact that, I'm not going to go through the Pesukim now, but from the fact that Avram Avinu purchased Marz Achpela with money, so too we get engaged halachically with money, like every one of you will have your chasen put a ring on your finger under the chuppah. I'm not talking about the ring that'll put on your finger, perhaps when or give you when you get engaged. That ring is a lot more expensive than the ring under the. But that ring is also halachically meaningless. It is what it is. Say it as it is, right? The ring that's just a simple gold or platinum ring, that's the one that's halachic engagement under the chuppah. And that ring is learnt out from the purchase of Maariv Chapela. It has a value of money, just like Avraham Avinu purchased Maariv Chapela with money. And it's so strange. We're going to learn about marriage from the death of Sarah, from the purchase of a burial plot. I mean, it's based on Psukim, but you need a little depth in that. So I always believed, there's a bunch of answers, I'm not going to go through them all right now, but I always believed, when you, lo aleinu, you deal with death. Lo aleinu, you deal with tragedy like we did this week. I only understand one way to deal with it, and that's with tremendous emunah. If you have the emunah, you can get through anything. If you could say Baruch Dayanam and mean it and believe it, you can move on. Otherwise, you are frozen. Otherwise, forget it. How do I move on when I lose a loved one? How do I live another day without that person? But if I believe Hashem is here and there's a master plan and there's He's orchestrating the world and this is in that person's best interest, and that person's on Abba. And yes, I'm still sad. I could cry. Avram cried also. L'spod l'sar of Lefkosa. But he didn't cry too much. There's a small chaf in the words Lefkosa. He cried. And the Baal Turim says he cried a little bit. He didn't cry too much because he believed and he knew there's a reason. And Hashem runs the world. And Baruch Dayanemes. That's the Muna when someone passes away. So too, we're saying, we learn from there about marriage, because in marriage you also need a tremendous Muna. We need that same Muna. Hashem Yatzah Adavar. This we have to have always. What is Harishtadlus? Where should our effort be? So I believe this parasha tells us that as well. When Eliezer brings Rivka back, and brings Rivka to meet the man of her dreams. Meet Yitzchak Avinu. What's Yitzchak Avinu doing? Vayetze Yitzchak, Pazuk says in Perach Avdal, Pazuk Samach Gimel. Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basada, Lifnos Arev. Yitzchak went to Davin. He was davening Mincha. That's when he instituted Mincha. He was davening. And then, right after davening, his Basharet comes. The Torah is crying to tell us, you know where our Eishtadlus is? Once we understand, Me Hashem Yatzar HaDavar, once we understand, it's all from Hashem. So what's the biggest Hashtadlus we have to do? Davin. Davin, Davin, and don't stop Davin. That's our biggest Hashtadlus. Don't stop Davining. That we should be doing. But I want to talk about Davining for a moment. What type of tefillah? You know, the Gemara in Brachos discusses, and there seems to be a machlokes, the tefillos we have, Shachos ben Chomairev, are they based on the Avos, Avram, Yisroch, and Yaakov, who are attacking them, or based on Karbanos, the Karban Tamid Shal Shachos, Karban Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim, the limbs that were burning on the Mizbeach, is about Mairev. Are they Bimkom Karbanos, or Bimkom the Avos? I once saw the most beautiful explanation of a synthesis of both from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Rabbi Dr. Lord Sir Jonathan Sachs. He writes so beautifully, and he writes that the tefillos of the Avos, the tefillos of our fathers, of Avraham and Yaakov, were all situational. We're all based Sarah. They were spontaneously talking to Hashem from one's heart, full of emotion, full of passion. You know, I'm sure all of us in this room, I don't know if you haven't, it's worth seeing, there's such chizik from it. There's a film, Ushbizen. I'm sure most of the chevra saw, if not all, Ushbizen, right? Years ago. Ushbizen, it's a Breslov film about Sukkot. And throughout it, you find the characters, Moshe Balanga and his wife, like throughout it, you find them like davening nonstop. But not just, I'm not talking about davening Shachris Mincha Meir the way we daven, or at least you guys, Shachris Mincha. I'm talking like throughout the day, anything going on. Talking to Hashem throughout the day, asking of Hashem, thanking Hashem, like incredible. That's tefillos avos. Spontaneous, emotional, real tefillos from our heart. The tefillos of karbanos. Karbanos are set time, set place, with regulations, with restrictions, exact words we're supposed to be saying. Very little creativity. That's tefillah of the karbanos. And Rabbi Sachs explains that the emes is we need both. We need both! The emes is we need both. Yes, is Jewish prayer the personal dialogue of the soul, which is the Avos, or the collective worship of the nation, which is the Karbanos? And he explains as follows. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read it from him because he writes so beautifully. Without spontaneity, the spirit withers. Without structure, it lapses into chaos. Without prophets, the faith of Israel would have grown old, the prophets or the avos. Without priests, the karbanos, it would never have been able to become the code of a nation. What he's saying is as follows. When it comes to davening and something to remember, because davening sometimes is hard. Davening, sometimes we need chizik and esoros. When we have what to daven for, it's easy. When I'm davening day in, day out, the same tefillahs. But where Rabbi Sacks is explaining these tefillahs b'makom avos and b'makom karbanos, which is this synthesis of the emotional, passionate tefillahs that's spontaneous from my soul, from my heart, and the tefillahs that are structured, that I'm mechuyev, obligated to say every day. We need both. Because if left to just our spontaneous avos, emotional, we may be not davening for everything that I'm supposed to be davening for. And I might not be davening as often as I'm supposed to be davening. I need the structure, I need the chizik to stay in that way. But I also need the passion, need the heart, and need the kavana. And I need to synthesize the two. I need both. And that's so important. That's what our tefillah should be. That tefillah, especially when I'm davening for my shidduch, with consistency. Because that's all that I should be doing, kishtadlus. Because may Hashem yatza adavar. But one more step in what our tefillah should be. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah daf yud ches and aleph. And the Gemara says as follows. Imagine like this. Shnayim shalu lamita v'chol yon shava, or shnayim shalu lagardom lidom v'dinan shava. Two people, either, gives two examples. Two people that were sick, exact same sicknesses, exact same symptoms, exact same situation, or two people that were being judged with a death penalty, for example, same exact situations. Ze yered v'lo yered, ze lo yered, ze nitzel v'ze lo nitzel. And one of them, in each case, one of them saved, one of them is healed, and one of them is nifter, one of them is put to death. He says they both daven. They both have the same exact situation. The Gemara says they're in the same predicament. They're both davening. One of their tefillahs are answered and one of their tefillahs are not answered. Why were one of their tefillahs answered and one not answered? This is the key to how our tefillahs should be answered, right here, this Gemara. And the Gemara says, Ze hispalal tefillah shlema, nena, veze lo hispalal tefillah shlema, no nena. The one who davened the tefillah shlema is answered, the one who didn't daven the tefillah shlema is not answered. So if we understand what this tefillah shlema is, we're going to understand how our tefillah should be answered. Now Rashi said it means it's talking about kavana. So we need a lot of kavana. And there's no question that's true. Rav Eliyahu Lapian said something very deep. He explained tefillah shlema in a different way. He said, Tefillah Shlema, complete prayer. It indicates that the person believed in the power of his tefillah wholeheartedly. He believed in the power of the Almighty and the power of his own prayers, and he was therefore answered. Meaning, yes, we daven because we're supposed to daven, because people tell us we're supposed to daven. You know when our tefillahs are going to be answered and it's the Tefillah Shlema? When I truly, deeply believe in my tefillahs. When I truly, deeply believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom that's going to answer my tefillahs, May Hashem Yatza Adavar. That's a tefillah shlema. And by the way, it doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. Maybe Hashem wants a lot of tefillahs from us. We find by Nashim Tzidkanios, by the Imos, Hashem wanted their tefillahs, but they were all eventually answered. We don't stop davening until Hashem answers. Until that time, we know by Hashem Yatza Adavar. This is what's best for us, and we have to believe that. Even though it's hard. The Kutzker Rebbe's sister was once sick and nothing helped her. She went to her brother, the Rebbe, and asked that he daven for her. He looked at her and said, "There's nothing I can do for you," and slammed the door in her face. His sister then started crying, "Master of the universe, my own brother won't help me. You must help me." The Kutzker Rebbe then opened the door and said, "This is what I wanted to hear. It is not the Kutzker Rebbe who can help you or the doctors who can help you. It's only the Almighty that can help you. I just wanted to bring you to that realization. Once you have come to that realization, then you'll be fine." That's the definition of a complete tefillah. To truly, wholeheartedly believe the koyach of my tefillahs and believe that it's all from Hashem. It doesn't mean in circumstances we don't put in ishtadlus we have to put and listen to shadchanim and date and when it's refuos, go to doctors. But we have to be davening, believing in that koyach of tefillah and believing everything ultimately is from Hashem. And to daven with kavana. of the spontaneous tefillos of the avos while we're davening in the structure of the tefillos of karbanos. And that's our avoda, that's the shtadlus. But ultimately to understand and to believe, Hashem yatzah hadavar. I know some of you are thinking, I know that it's easier said than done. And I know as you go through sometimes, some of us, these journeys, and a journey, and sometimes we see and we know that it might be a long journey. And we're afraid of that. We're afraid of the unknown. And we want to be settled. And we want things to just be good. But even when we're settled, we don't know what that means. All of life is a journey. All of life has its trials and tribulations. If we go through life with emunah in Hashem, and go through life saying, whatever Hashem brings me at this point in my life, that's ratzon Hashem for me to do the most of. And I'm not waiting for Hashem to serve me. My avodah is to serve Him. With that emunah, I'm telling you, we could be besimcha every single moment. Whatever I'm going through, I have simcha zachayim, because I know this is my avodah at this point in my life. So Hashem doesn't want me to be married yet, doesn't want me, that will come. I'm going to daven for it, it's what I want, and you can, and you should. And it's what Hashem wants from you. And if you're dating someone, and you thought it's good, and it doesn't work out, don't forget that boy that led to his shidduch. Hashem yatzah davar, you make a lechayim, as the Belzer Rebbe said. It will be the right person at the right time. It will be besimcha, it will be with bracha. And trust me as well, I'll tell you something, another little secret. When that happens, Be'ez Hashem, and it should happen for all of you in the right time, Bekarov. But when it happens, it's terrifying. It's like the blink of an eye. The whole journey just fades away. It's like there was no journey. Terrifying. You don't feel it, you don't remember it. All you know is the simcha. All you know is the bracha. All you know is the person you're going to look into his eyes that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And know, you know what? It was worth waiting for this. It's okay. And you'll be able, hopefully, if we grab onto this time and make of ourselves, see also reasoning and understanding of what I need to do more. And grab on, you know what? Once you get married, you have a lot of other responsibilities. Responsibilities towards the husband, responsibilities towards the house, responsibilities, b'shatoy mitzlachos, towards children. What you have when you're single is only at that point to work on yourself and have a little bit less responsibility in those ways. So maybe it's a bracha to be able to have more time to develop myself and to grow and to work on my davening, to work on who I am as a person. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam might want from us if it's taking a little longer. Everything is Hashem. May Hashem yatzah davar. Be'ez Hashem is baruch. It's supposed to be a kayin. I'll give each of you a bracha. Yisimcha, yisameich, Elohim, kisarif, korachaleah. Yivarech ha'neisharecha, yer ne'panav ilecha v'chuneka, yisa ne'panav ilecha, v'yaseim lecha shalom. Last Thursday night was my birthday, my Hebrew birthday, so we weren't together, so I could give you a bracha now. That each and every one of you should be zoicha to live a life of simcha, every moment. To feel Hashem in your life every moment. And to know me Hashem yatzah davar. And be zoicha to be tanting by simchas with not just any bashert, but with the man of your dreams. Whenever that is, it should be Be'ez Hashem, it should be b'shatoiva, so it's a little bit easier. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring it quicker. And b'zoicha de simcha, and b'zoicha de bracha for us and for all of Klai Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should only bring nechama to the world and simcha to the world. And b'zoicha to the ultimate simcha with Bias Mashiach, with Tchias HaMesim, b'mehera b'yameinu.